ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of the Lord. I'm going to write the title on the board here in a moment. I'd like to share a little, I'd like to ask you a question first before I do. Because I don't want to give you the answer. When I write the title on the board, you're going to know the answer to my question. So, imagine yourself that you're walking through the forest, walking through the woods. And I know Brother Randy and Evan have gone hunting wild boars before. I don't know if anybody else has here or not. But imagine you're not going hunting. You don't have a gun with you. And you're walking through the forest, and all of a sudden you hear a crashing in the brush, and a wild boar, wild hog, comes charging at you. My question is this: what are you going to do? Climb a tree. Pray. What would you, is that really your instinct? Let's just be real here, okay? Let's not try to over-spiritualize this for a sec. A boar is charging you. You're going to drop down and pray? I mean, really, is that what you're going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run and pray. But I'm going to run because they can do a lot of damage. Wild boars can hurt you real bad, and I'm going to run. I'm not going to stay there and negotiate with the boar. You see, I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to saunter. Oh, yes, that boar's coming. I guess I better go the other way. It's charging you. I'm going to run. And the message I have from the Lord to share with you this morning, and it's one of those messages that maybe you sit here and think, why is this being preached? If it can make a difference in one person's life today, it's worth this service coming. Here's my message to you from the Lord. You better run. So I'm going to write it up here. Lest we forget, you better run. I'm not going to negotiate. I'm not going to walk slowly. And actually, I know we have been advised in this congregation by Brother Verlin Cook, who's not with us anymore. We remember his phrases quite frequently in our home. And with others in the congregation, we remember things he talked about. But there's one of them that we chuckle about sometimes, and it was really good advice. I want to share it with you again this morning. He said, sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do, does the congregation know, is to do what? Some of y'all are real spiritual, aren't you? He told us sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just go take a nap. You know why that's funny? Because it's so true. Sometimes you have a little, if you have something that's going on that's not going real well, and maybe you're thinking about responding or something's happened in life, sometimes the best thing you can do is just to go isolate, go take a nap, and start off refreshed. So that is really good advice. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. When a boar is charging me, the most spiritual thing I can do is not to go take a nap. The best thing I can do is to run. So the point is this: there is a time to take a nap, and there's a time to run. And I know I said it, but I'm going to reiterate it this morning. It's not a time when a boar is charging you to drop to your knees in prayer. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Oh, the preacher's saying don't pray. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm going to say run and pray. I'm going to say I'm going to get out of the way while I'm seeking God. Just like when you're driving and someone almost hits you or something happens, it's like, oh, Lord. It's like there's a prayer right there. But I'll tell you, as I'm saying that, I'm jerking my wheel. So there is a time that we need to run, and we have been, the scripture advises us to do this. So if you will turn with me to 2 Timothy, we're going to back this up with the Word of God this morning. And I want to encourage you in the things that you face in life, in the temptations you face, when you are faced with sin is before you, and you are being tempted to do wrong, and you are being drawn to something that you know is not pleasing to God, you better run. And that's my advice to you this morning by the Lord's inspiration of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He said, flee. What's it mean to flee? It means to run. He didn't say walk. He didn't say saunter. He didn't say go at a brisk walk or a brisk pace. He said flee. In other words, you better run. Flee also youthful lust. Now, he was talking to Timothy. Do you think that scripture is just for the young people? Why not? He said youthful lust. I've shared this here before, but I still remember, and I remember who said it, but someone said many years ago, they said you better flee youthful lust because you don't grow out of them. There's a lot of truth to that. There are things, that there are changes that take place. The older you get, temptations can become a little different nature. But I'll tell you, the devil's the same, the flesh is the same. And we need to be aware of where and how the enemy works. And so he said, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So youthful lust, carnal things, carnal desires, pride, ambition, lust for power, the fleshly pleasures of the world that are not pleasing to God, you better run. All of you are going to be faced with temptation. You don't grow out of temptation. You better run this morning. I don't know why the Lord sent this message, but I believe the Lord knew what he was doing. You better run. Don't think you can negotiate with temptation. It'll overtake you. So run from it. Flee also youthful lust. The advice here is not to stay around without running. Because do you know what happens is when you are around a temptation and you don't run, there's a consequence to that. The consequence to staying around temptation and not running away from it, you will start feeling less urgency. But when something presents itself and you feel that initial temptation, it's like, I've got to run. I'm going to protect my soul. I'm going to run. But the longer you stay there, the longer you look, the longer you entertain it, you start losing the urgency to get away. And that's what happened, I believe, with Adam and Eve in the garden. When the enemy came tempting them with the fruit of the tree, and there's nothing that says it was an apple, by the way, but when he was tempting them with the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they should have run. If they would have run, they wouldn't have ended up in the predicament they did. See, they died. The curse of death was placed upon them. When we fail to run, we will end up dying spiritually. And when there's a sense of urgency at the initial temptation. And I dare say there's probably a lot of people here that could give a lot of counsel, and we could hear a lot of stories about how we should have run. But we didn't, and we still weren't going to do wrong, but we didn't run. I'm not going to displease God. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do that. But we lost the sense of urgency. And when that happens, our resistance is lowered and we are more susceptible to doing wrong. So the more you entertain temptation, the more power it has over you. So I'd like to read out a passage, and I want us to understand that this message this morning is not to one particular sin, okay? I mentioned pride and ambition, things that will take you away from the cross of Jesus Christ. But I do want to address adultery and fornication this morning. I'd like to share with you out of the book of Proverbs, and there was the writer of Proverbs, attributed to Solomon. He was in an upper window, and he was people watching. Have y'all ever people watched? Ever like to go? You know, when it's almost more interesting if you go to the zoo to just sit down on a bench and watch the people. If you go to the mall or go somewhere and just people watch. Because people are really interesting. He was people watching. So in the seventh chapter of Proverbs, let's read what he said here. In the sixth verse, he said, "For at the window of my house, I look through my casement." So it's like going to the window and kind of looking out and seeing what's going on. What's happening? I'm interested in what he was people watching. And he saw something. He said, "I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner." Now, previous to that, he was talking about a strange woman. He said, "Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. In the twilight, and in the evening, in the black, in the dark of night." Do you notice what time it was? It was dark. Do you know why men love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil. Do you know that temptation has greater power when the sun starts going down? You ever thought about that? When the sun starts going down towards the end of the day, you're more tired. Your resistance is lowered. And here's a young man under the cover of darkness. See, no one else can see what's happening. See, no one else knows the temptation. No one else sees what's going on. Folks, we need to run to the light this morning. Run to the light. "And it was nighttime, and he went by the woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." Now, I want us to know, and I'm not going to read this whole passage. You can do that on your own time. But this woman here, she had perfume on, I think. She'd put perfumes and incense there at her house. She'd make things look really good. Here's the point I want us to get. Sin does not always look bad. See, she dressed herself up in a way that looked good. Looked attractive. It looked enticing. That is the nature of temptation. That's the nature of temptation. Because if you went along and there was a woman here, this young man, and she was dirty and nasty looking and just a mess and uncared for and stank, where would the temptation be? Temptation of any kind, whether it's not just the things of the flesh, but temptation of any kind, it's a temptation because it's something that draws. It's something that allures. It's something that from the fleshly perspective, it looks good. Young people, listen to me now this morning. You young men and young ladies, listen. And you old men and you old ladies. That doesn't sound good, old ladies. You elderly ladies, that sounds a little better, doesn't it? The old and the elderly. This is for all of us. But when temptation comes, you better run. Don't entertain it. And understand that everything that looks good is not good. Everything that looks attractive, there's many things that look attractive and the end result is going to be death. See, this young man, if you read the rest of the story, he went by her way And it says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter. He thought he could handle it. He thought it's going to be okay. And that's why Solomon said he was one of the simple ones. I discerned a young man void of understanding. I've seen a lot of old people void of understanding. Seen a lot of old people make some really poor mistakes, bad mistakes. Folks, we need to be careful this morning. We are not exempt until we get to heaven. We need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We need to be on guard. And when the boar is charging our way, you better run. It's not a time to negotiate. It's a time to get out of the way, because the end result is going to be death. I'm reminded of Joseph in the book of Genesis, when in the 39th verse, remember Potiphar's wife tried to entice him? The door was open. Joseph could have given in to the sin of the flesh. But do you remember what he did? She grabbed his coat. Do you remember what he did? He ran. Why didn't he talk to her about it? Why didn't he stand and just tell her the reasons why that it wasn't really a good idea? Why did he run? I think we know the answer. Huh? It's the only way out. Because if he would not have run, what would have been the situation 10 minutes later? Get the point? He recognized, I've got to get out of this situation. I remember my father telling me someone that he knew that was in an unmarried state, and he lived his life single after, because his wife had left him. And there were times my dad told me that this man, this brother in the Lord, that he literally said there were times he had to literally almost turn and run from a situation. Because he recognized the urgency. I cannot stay in this condition. I've got to get out to a place of safety. It is not unmanly or unwomanly to get to a safe place. You better run this morning. Someone here needs to run. And you need to run for your life. The enemy is attacking the people of God on every front, folks. The devil's attacking people. And we need to not feel like we are so spiritual that we are exempt from the temptations of this world. I'm not exempt. You're not exempt. Not just the fleshly things that we're talking about here, but the things that the world offers that look enticing, with pride and ambition, the things that will take us away from that humble walk and service to the Lord. And when there is a temptation to that, we need to recognize I am in a critical condition. I'm in a critical place, and I need to run. Pray as you run, but don't negotiate. Don't stand there and think that you can talk your way out of it, because the longer you talk, the less your resistance is, and sometimes you can almost end up convincing yourself that it's going to be okay. And I want you to know it's not. It's not going to be okay. You need to run to preserve your life. There's another passage of Scripture that says flee also. It says flee fornication. Young folks, fornication, according to the Scripture, is a sin against your own body. It's more, and I wish the world knew this, because there are people that say, well, I'm not saved, so I can lie and I can commit fornication and I can do this and that, because I'm not saved, and I know if I were saved I shouldn't do it, but I'm not saved. These are principles that will protect you even if you're not saved. You understand? I mean, it's the Lord doesn't want you not to be saved. But even for people that have no knowledge and desire to follow God, fornication is a sin against your own body. That's what the scripture says. In other words, it's more than just separating you from God, and it will do that. It will bring eternal death. But God did not create us in our emotions. He did not create us to bear the emotional and physical burden of what fornication is doing to the young people of our land. People think I'm having a little fun, a little enjoyment, and I'm going to go out. And there is a little enjoyment to sin, folks. I'm not going to stand up here and say there's no fun in sin. But it doesn't last long. There's a price tag on it. And you're going to pay a higher price than the good that you think you're getting out of it. And it's a sin against yourself. There are people today that are left with regrets of decisions they made when they were younger because they didn't run. And now there's a consequence. I would that we save ourselves as much as possible from the consequences of sin. There is forgiveness with God, and I thank the Lord for that. There is forgiveness this morning for everyone. Any wrong you have committed, the Lord will forgive you. But would not it be better for us to encourage our young people and challenge one another? How much better to live a life that I don't have to go ask for forgiveness because it's going to leave a trail behind me of hurt and pain. So you better run. Take hold of instruction. There's a scripture in Proverbs 4:13 that says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, and pass not by it, and turn from it. I want to couple that with another scripture that gives some advice. It says, evil communications do what? They corrupt good manners. That word communication, it's an unfortunate translation in the King James Version. It would be better translated, and it works, but evil companions, what do? They corrupt good manners. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but can a lot of us testify to times that you had no intention of doing wrong, but you got around people that were doing wrong? And it affected your decisions. Evil communications corrupt good manners. When you find yourself in places and associating with people that are drawing you away from the path of righteousness, from the things you know are good and right, the Lord has some advice for you this morning. Does anybody want to guess what it is? You better run. Because who you listen to, I'd like you to listen to me really carefully here for just a minute. Who you listen to will affect you. All of us are influenceable. And if I listen to, you can tune in on the radio, the media, you know, all the podcasts, all of the, your friend, people you know, family members. If you get closely tied in with them, and you are listening to their rhetoric, listening to their perspectives and views, how is that going to affect you through time? You are going to start thinking like they are. And you say, no, I'm stronger than that. And so Solomon said, I looked at the young man void of understanding, because who you listen to is going to affect how you think and the decisions that you make. Are you listening to people that are telling you about spiritual things? Say, it doesn't matter. Ah, they're too strict. That's too strict over there. You can do this. You can live that way. Why? Oh, that you don't have to do that. Look at their life. Do you see the anointing and power of God? Why would you want to fill your mind and listen to that? You will go that way the more you listen. That's why people that listen, you know, you can hear people talk. It's like you can know what they're listening to on the radio. You can tell which people they're listening to. You've got your conspiracy theorist on the left and your conspiracy theorist on the right. And you can't even, I'm not sure much on the media is fair and balanced, if you get my drift. Everybody, it seems like, has an agenda of some kind or another. And you can listen to people and you know, I know who you've been listening to. Well, actually, I might not. I have tried, don't listen to too much of it anymore. But do you realize, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with listening to the news. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to say you better be careful. But let's bring it into spiritual things. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to for counsel? Who are you going to for advice? If I go to this person and ask for advice and I don't like it, you know what I'll do? I'll go somewhere else. I'll go looking until someone gives me advice that I want to hear. I sought, and then I come back and I can be so holy about it. I sought for counsel and advice, and this is what they said. It's like people preacher shop all the time. They go from church to church. They go from preacher to preacher. They're preacher shopping to hear something they want to hear to make them feel good about what they're doing. So I just want to caution us this morning. Be careful of companions because evil communications corrupt good manners. And to the young folks and to the children, that's why mom and dad say, who are you going to be with? Because they know the effect of who you're with. That's why they say, I don't think it's a good idea. Mom, Dad, why does it matter? It's okay. It's everybody. No, didn't they get in trouble last week for such and such? Didn't this happen to them? No, I'm not going to do it. And so we behold the young man and the young woman void of understanding, thinking that I'm different. Here's another nugget for us this morning. You're not different. I mean, we're all unique. Don't misunderstand. But we are all susceptible to influence. So I would just like to caution us in the Lord. Be careful of what influences you place yourself under. Be careful. Well, you know what happens? Pride goeth before what? Before destruction and a haughty spirit, before a fall. Exalted opinion of self. I don't need anybody. That spirit of self-righteousness, no, I'm spiritual, I can. We need to run from that. When you begin to get this independent attitude, thinking that you're better than everyone else, whether it's spiritually or the things, whether it's the vanity of looking in the mirror, wow, that looks really good. You better run. You understand? Don't allow pride. Don't allow pride and self-righteousness to become your identity. But how does it happen that the first time you walk by and you say, oh, wow, I'm looking pretty good. I'm going to go, you know, and then I'll start doing all this stuff. And every time it's like, wow, that's, and then you actually start believing it. And you actually start believing it. And maybe you do look good. But what did you do to get it? Your parents gave it to you, right? You didn't do anything to get your looks or your shortness or your height or how you look. You understand the thing? And so people start getting this exalted opinion, and it's like you didn't do anything for that. That was given to you. We're all unique people. So be careful of our attitudes, that we will stay humble. The Lord wants an humble people this morning. He doesn't want a people that are exalting and doing things to lift themselves up. And that goes so many different areas of life. You better run. Run from the ambition. Folks, ambition, I want to say to the men this morning, ambition for power and wealth, I'll tell you, it's not just getting it, it's the ambition for it. That ambition will take us right outside of our purpose to follow the Lord. Because this is where Jesus said, no man can serve what? Two masters. You can't do it. You're going to either be following wholeheartedly after the things of God, or I want wealth, I want position, I want power. Lord, there's nothing wrong with dreams and plans and goals temporally. I think saints ought to have them. We ought to be the most industrious people there are. But it should be committed and submitted to the Lord, that Lord, first and foremost, I want you in my life. And if you bless me with a little money, Lord, it's yours. Because everything I have is yours. There is no temptation taking you. I want to encourage you now. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But will with the temptation also what? Make a way to escape. So when you are in the place of temptation, the Lord will open a door for you to escape. And when the door opens, you better run. The door's open. The Lord's given you a place to escape the temptation. Because if you don't run, you're probably going to end up giving in to it. Lord, I don't want to give in. So you better run, and the Lord will give you the grace and the strength to flee fornication, temptation, ambition, ungodly ambition, the lust of the flesh, but we have a part to do with that. And I want to tell you what I've observed through the years. People give in to temptation, and then they feel like God let them down. I'm not going to ask if you all know what I'm talking about. I hope you do, though. So, well, it feels like I wanted to do right, and it feels like God just didn't give me the grace I needed. It's like God kind of let me down here. But you remember my story, if I'm a drunk and the Lord forgives me and I'm no longer a drunk, I've been forgiven and I've been set free. I really don't think the best thing for me to do is to go to the bar down the road and have a soda pop. I'm not drinking alcohol. The Lord forgave me and I'm just going in to have a water, get a little thirsty, have some water and peanuts. You see, you're opening yourself up to temptation. And then you fall and you have another drink and there you go. You lost it. And you say, why didn't God give me the grace? God let me down. No, the grace was found when you walked by and there was a temptation. It's like, no, I'm not even going in there. That's where the grace of God will work. See, we have to take the grace when it's offered. So be careful. I would like to share a little story. And when I first had read this, I went and investigated because I wanted to be sure I was telling you all the truth, okay? There's lots of stories float around that aren't even true. So I went, it was at least verified from some other news sources. There was a man by the name of Marius Els, and he was in South Africa. I believe he was a major in the army at one point. And this was a number of years ago, and he got a hippopotamus, was given to his care. It was 5 months old, a baby hippopotamus, and its name was Humphrey, apparently. And it's like, what? That sounds like a children's book, Humphrey the Hippo. But apparently this really happened. And so the news articles were saying that this man, people came to him and told him, they said, be really careful about this hippopotamus. He's like, it's fine. He said, this hippo's just like family. It's tame. Something about hippopotamuses, and I did a little research on hippos, and I've seen lots of hippos in my life, and I've seen them in the wild, and I've been pretty close to some. Hippopotamuses are considered the most dangerous animal in Africa, okay? Hippopotamuses cause more deaths than lions and rhinos and buffaloes and leopards and elephants combined. Okay, yearly, they say that at least 500, I saw a lot of statistics that said 500, some were double that, but at least 500 people a year are killed by hippos. Now, I don't know most of you have probably seen some in a zoo. I've seen a lot of them out in the wild. And those they're big and you think, oh, it's safe. I mean, these big old fat animals, they can run 20 miles per hour on land. The PSI of their jaw, if I'm not mistaken, it's like 5 or 3 times that of a lion. And in the water, they can move fast. They actually don't swim, but they bounce through the water. They can move. They're dangerous. And so this man had this baby hippo, and he fed it. I saw pictures. He was swimming with it. I mean, it was like, this is like family. And he started getting some stories that this hippo's getting off the land, going and running after. And, oh, no, the hippo's fine. Well, 6 years later, and this would have been in 2011, his body was found, submerged in the river, and the hippo had mauled him and killed him. I can handle it. It's different. This situation's different. I can handle it. It's tamed. It's normalized. Isn't that what the enemy's trying to do? And so in our media today is normalize sin. That's what the world's doing. It's different. sin is fatal. You may think that you're different. It's going to be different for me. Folks, hippos are hippos. I didn't know if I was going to show. Can I show you a picture? Can I get off the beaten path just a little bit here this morning? I hope it's still on. Ah, it is. I'm going to show you. This actually was the young people. I said it was a few years ago about something, and they said a few. In other words, I have got a few years. But this was a few years ago, at least. I should need to add that at least to it. I'd like to show you a little picture here. I looked a little bit younger there. This was a cheetah. And I know they say cheetahs are some of the most docile wild cats. But I'll tell you, when I got in there, this was at an animal orphanage in Africa somewhere. And it was in Kenya, I guess. And we went in, and they said, oh yeah, you can take your picture with it. It was caged. You know, I felt a lot of trepidation going in there. So I walked up, and you can't see it, but my hand was very gingerly on his head. Who do you think could run faster? Who do you think could run faster, the cheetah or me? So if there was a problem, you say, oh, it's tame. It's been around lots of people. So was the hippo. So if I would have really been wisest, what should have I not have done? Got in the cage to start with. Because it can run faster than me. So the message to you this morning is you better run. But folks, some places it's going to run faster than you can. So don't get in the cage with it to start with. If you're on a road this morning that you know you have been affected, or you are in a place of temptation, which all of us are or will be, I want to challenge you to get off the road that will lead to sin, and you better do it now, you better do it quickly, and you better run, because our life is truly at stake.